Another Throwback Thursday episode here in Pain Science is our focus, Pain Awareness Month, and people living with chronic pain. Not long ago, back in March, we had a chance to let a woman by the name of Maggie Whittem tell her story. Maggie is a stroke survivor. She's an artist, an actress, and she's in the middle of creating her own documentary called The Great Now What. Take a listen to this really, really great perspective on pain and living with chronic pain here on a Throwback Thursday episode of PT Pintcast.
You know, I'm a stroke survivor. Previously very healthy, very fit. Didn't smoke, didn't drink in excess, didn't have high blood pressure, wasn't overweight, didn't have any of the warning signs of having a stroke. And then, wham.
That's Maggie Whittem. And like you heard her say, she was relatively fit. She had no stroke warning signs. For all intents and purposes, she was a regular 33-year-old. It's harder to come up with a better word for what it sounds like when a stroke hits someone better than wham. Here's where Maggie's story starts, just before that wham.
I'm 33. I'm in graduate school. I'm engaged. I've got this like life plan ahead of me and everything is going the way I wanted to. And then I get a really bad headache. I thought that I maybe had the flu. By 48 hours after my headache, I walk to the GWER and I check myself in and I'm like, I don't feel well.
Now remember, Maggie had no symptoms before this day. She had regular blood pressure, never smoked, wasn't overweight, and didn't drink to excess. So the staff in the ER weren't really rushing to, hey, maybe this girl's having a stroke. But the symptoms just kept getting worse and worse. Until here comes that wham she mentioned. She was, in fact, having a stroke. But they couldn't figure out why.
I'm completely paralyzed on the left side of my body. Crazy double vision. I've lost my gag reflex, so they have to put me on a ventilator. I was losing the ability to speak. Even though I was thinking the words in my mind, my mouth was not making the words, and no one could understand me.
Maggie was in the hospital. The day before that, all was fine. But now, she's unable to move half of her body. Her vision's impaired. A machine was breathing for her, and she can't communicate at all verbally. Think about that. How terrifying that must have felt in that moment for her. There was only one way she could actually let the world know what she was thinking, and that was her sister.
My sister would hold my hand, say the alphabet, and I would squeeze her hand on the letter to spell out words very, very slowly.
The staff in the hospital did finally find out the answer to the question of why. Why did she have that stroke?
Something called a cavernous angioma.
A cavernous angioma. A vascular malformation. One in about 500 people has one, and of those, only about 30% will cause issues in their lifetime. Maggie's was serious. Just 9 days after she walked herself into the ER, she was about to undergo brain surgery.
And I'm terrified, and I can't move, and I can't speak. And they're telling me I have to have brain surgery, but I'm still there.
They were going to operate on her pons, the very top of her brainstem, which is a very delicate operation on a very difficult-to-reach region of her brain. But after 9 hours in surgery...
Thankfully, a great success. I spent several more days in the ICU. They took out the ventilator. I could breathe on my own, thankfully. Feeding tube got removed. I was like slowly building my way back to being a human being again.
Now, stop and think about all the things that changed in Maggie's life in just 9 days. She lost the ability to move half her body. Her vision is altered, and she lost and then regained her ability to communicate. All those things happened to her, and now it's time to start, as she said, being a human again. She spent time working with physical therapists in both inpatient and then eventually transferred to outpatient care at the National Rehab Hospital in DC. But that roller coaster of a stroke doesn't stop once you leave the hospital.
And, you know, my life plan had just really completely changed. You know, I thought that I was master of my domain, master of my own future. And I had this idea of myself that I'm very independent, very reliable, very much a leader, you know, and very competent. And all of a sudden, all these ideas I had about myself vanished. I have to figure out what to do with my life now.
This is PT Pintcast. I'm physical therapist Jimmy McKay. And today, we get to listen to a stroke survivor tell her story. From what it felt like while she was having her stroke, surviving it, and then the part after that. The now what part. Welcome to the great now what.
I have this incredible thing happen to me and I get the brain surgery and I think, okay, the brain surgery's done. I'm gonna get out of this hospital bed and I'm gonna go back to school. I didn't quite comprehend the extent of the damage in my brain.
While only about 10% of stroke survivors make a full recovery, Maggie dedicated herself to her recovery. But that wham she talked about wasn't done taking things away from her. Surviving her stroke led to changes in her day-to-day life. She had to leave her graduate program and move away. Her engagement ended, and her day-to-day life was profoundly changed. And while she set out to be amongst that 10% that make a full recovery,
And I didn't get where I wanted to get, you know, I'm doing a lot better than I was, but that was a moment of reckoning and humility for me to recognize that some of these issues that I have are permanent issues.
While she was recovering in many ways, there are those issues that come with surviving a stroke, and they're different for each survivor.
I was paralyzed on the left side of my body, but now my body can move again. However, I don't have any proprioception on the left side of my body. I don't have any sensation on the left side of my body. And I also have incredible nerve pain on the left side, sort of from the top of my head all the way down to the tips of my toes. There's this constant burning, freezing, squeezing sensation, yet it's also numb. And somehow it's also like burning hot and freezing cold at the same time. So I have that.
She returned to Denver, Colorado, where she grew up. But as time went on, she would realize that many of these things would never go away. And she would have to learn to live with them, including her pain.
Well, my pain is chronic, so it is always there. Sometimes if it gets exacerbated, it's like a 6 or 7 out of 10. And sometimes when it's quieter, it'll be like a 2 or 3. But it's always there. And now that it's been 4 years since my stroke, I'm a lot more used to it, but it is a very difficult thing to comprehend.
On top of brain surgery, she had to deal with facial asymmetry that sometimes comes after a stroke. But she was able to undergo a pretty cool procedure that would help her regain some control of her face.
They cut the facial nerve right behind my ear and took it down into my neck. And then they took 30% of my hypoglossal nerve, my tongue nerve, sewed that into my facial nerve. My face regained symmetry, and I can move my face a little bit now, the right side of my face, with my tongue, which is
wow.
Which is kind of bizarre, but it's, you know, it's cool. It's good.
It's bizarre, but it's also amazing at the same time.
It's yeah. Wow. Yeah, exactly. Who would have thought? Who would have thought they can connect your facial nerve to your tongue nerve.
Now, Maggie was getting some control back and regaining some of her abilities, but she had to get used to not being able to do many of the everyday things, like driving because of her vision. She couldn't work and was on disability.
I take things extra, 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 extra slow because I fall a lot, you know, even just like moving from my bedroom into my kitchen and emptying the dishwasher, you know, got to be careful that I don't lose my balance.
So her life changed. Stroke showed up and changed her plans from what she would study or do for work to how she would move around her kitchen. But as you can probably hear in Maggie's voice, she refers to herself as a survivor, because she is. So if she couldn't make the things in her body change, she would use her strength, art, to let everyone else around her understand what being in her body felt like.
I started making these Barbie doll art pieces, and I would make it look like my pain feels. One of them is a Barbie where the left side is completely encased in gray clay. It looks like concrete to show what it feels like, the heaviness of not having any proprioception. I did one with rubber band, trying to explain the tightness that I feel.
You see, Maggie, before her now what, was a graduate student in an elite Master of Fine Arts program. She went from studying Shakespeare to rehabilitation, but now that art background was resurfacing as a way to express herself.
There happens to be a professional theater company in Denver that only casts actors with disabilities. You have to have a disability under the ADA to be able to audition, and they've been in Denver for 30 years.
Maggie also had a background as an actress and a voiceover artist before her now what, and she was able to jump in with people who were going through their own now what's with the Family Group in Denver.
They're called Family Theater Company, which is spelled P-H-A-M-A-L-Y. Initially, that stood for Physically Handicapped Actors and Musical Artists League. And now they accept, you know, all different kinds of disabilities, physical, cognitive, emotional, intellectual. Yeah. And it's a really phenomenal company to work with. And they do a big musical every year.
From Barbie doll art showing what pain or tightness felt like from the inside, to theater with other people who were physically or cognitively limited. But Maggie wanted to increase the size of her stage even more to amplify her message. She decided to do something big. Like, big screen big. Maggie decided to make a movie about her story, and the title was easy to pick out. The movie is called The Great Now What.
I'm so excited about it. I really feel like how beautiful and empathetic it could be to put your story out there and reach other people who are going through a difficult time.
Sharing her story was about more than just her.
There is so much ugliness to the experience of stroke, and it just takes so much away from you professionally and personally and physically and financially. And there's just so much loss. A chronic illness is a struggle. And I saw this idea of a film as something beautiful amidst the hardship, the darker side of it.
Taking on a project this big is hard, but this was part of her recovery.
I thought, I have to do this. I have to make this film. It's going to be important. It's going to be impactful for stroke survivors, for people with chronic illness and chronic pain.
Now, while Maggie was no stranger to art and conveying emotion, here she'd be able to tackle questions and issues that she was now facing. Things she never thought about until her now what moment.
What does it mean to go from able-bodied to disabled? And what does it mean for a woman who's to suddenly be disabled? And what does that mean in terms of femininity and your worth in society? And I think those are very interesting questions to tackle.
Since the movie isn't out yet, and this is a podcast, I tried to get Maggie to use just words to describe her now what.
It's like a tsunami coming at you, this gigantic thing that touches every inch of your life, and it's inescapable and it's enormous. The scale of it, the enormity of it, the terrible grief, hopelessness, shame, and isolation, it's really difficult.
Overall, her goals are about other people and helping them and those around them understand what it's like to be a stroke survivor.
My goal is just to talk to more people and help them understand and help them empathize more with the scale of it. It's not a broken ankle. It's so much bigger than that.
So we know as physical therapists what a stroke survivor might need. But something that might not be listed in textbooks is, how can art heal?
Art is really helping me communicate with the outside world what this experience is, hopefully helping the people I'm communicating with understand. That has been the goal for me for art. It's all about connection and humanity. So I feel like the way that art has helped me and helped me heal, helped me feel a little better, more empowered as a stroke survivor. It's very disempowering illness. You lose so much, but I've gained something in my artwork from having a stroke. I feel like I've gained a lot and this different perspective. And I think that art can help heal people. And I would encourage everyone out there who's struggling, you know, with a TBI or stroke, that creating art can be a release of some sort, and it can help you express yourself more and get some of that very profound emotion, release it in some way.
The Great Now What is currently in production. You can find out more about Maggie, her story, her art, and her movie at thegreatnowwhat.com. We thank Maggie for telling her story so openly and honestly, and can't wait for her movie to come out so people around the world can know a little more about what it's like living with a great now what. We're going to end with Maggie. I asked her before we wrapped up what she would tell someone who's going through their own stroke survival. What would she want them to know and hold on to?
Life is not a path. It's a river. And if you happen to go over a Niagara Falls-sized event in your life, the farther you get away from that event, you just want to struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle to get back where you were. Is it really the best use of your time? Try and swim upstream and get back to where you were, when you can't get back to the top of Niagara Falls after you've gone over it. Be where you are.
This has been a special edition of PT Pintcast. The show is brought to you commercial free by Arius Medical Staffing, the leader in travel physical therapy, letting you be a physical therapist or physical therapist assistant anywhere in the 50 U.S. states. Doing what you want to do, where you want to do it. Find out more at AURESmedical.com. I'm physical therapist Jimmy McKay. Thanks for listening.